Now, let's move on to the next presentation. We would like to receive the first company lecture, Soy Food, Pursuing the Potential of Soybeans, the Challenge of Fuji Oil. Mr. Tatsuji Omori, President of Fuji Oil. Mr. Omori, please.
Thank you for your kind introduction. I am President of Fuji Oil, Omori speaking.
So today I'd like to talk about Fuji Oil challenge to pursue soy potential. So I will talk about the history of how we come to focus on soy and what is our history of product development. So this is what I'm going to cover today. Five items. Plant-based food is one, and Fuji Oil Group overview and history of the company and development of soybean processed products and plant-based food solutions. Plant-based food. As you know, since the foundation of our company, plant-based ingredients are something that we have been producing and selling. Fuji Oil would like to make a contribution to the solutions of social issues through plant-based food. So that is a part of our mission. So this is about Fuji Oil Group. We are ingredient or material manufacturers, B2B, and we were established in 1950, and the revenue is 364 billion. And 60% of our sales is overseas, and here in Japan, it's around 40%. It's around a little less than 150 billion. And we have 36 companies covering 14 countries. And in 2015, we transferred our company into a holding company, and that is located in Nakanoshima, Osaka. The president of the holding company is Mr. Sakai, and I am the president of Fuji Oil. That is the Japan headquarters function. And I am here. This is a plant in Izumisano City of Osaka Prefecture, and you can see the Kansai Airport. And this is our main plant. And apart from that, we have two plants in Ibaraki Prefecture, one plant in Chiba Prefecture, and one plant in Hyogo Prefecture. This is looking at our business areas of Fuji Oil in Japan. There are four major segments. One is vegetable oils and fats business, palm oil and sunflower oil, coconut oil, and also industrial chocolate business. And the volume of our business, in terms of revenue and the profit, industrial chocolate business is the biggest segment for us. In terms of the global market share, we are number one in terms of the production output for industrial chocolate business. Another one is emulsified or fermented ingredients business, and that's for bread making and also sweet making. And soy-based ingredients business is the fourth business segment, which I would like to focus on today. Let's take a look back on our company's history. And so we were established after the war. And we are oil company. Many of the competitors have long histories, starting from Meiji era or Taisho era or before the war time. But we are the only one which started our business after the war. We started our business in Osaka. And as for soy protein business, we made that decision to make an inroad back in 1963. We started the construction of plant for that in 1967. And actually, soybean meat selling started back in 1969. Back in the 1960s, we started our soybean business. And for a long time, it was in the red ink. But this second generation president, Nishimura Masataro, as you can see, he said, in the future, in food supply and demand, without any doubt, the soy protein will play a very important role. So he had a very strong determination. And since this second generation president, even if the business was never profitable for the initial stage, we have continued with this business. And back in 1979, we started a foundation for promotion of protein research. And this research group was inaugurated back in 1979, and we offer research grants to researchers working at universities and research institutes so that they can be supported with their soy protein research. Now I'd like to talk about soybean processed foods and soybean products. First is powder form soy protein products. Back in 1967, we launched this product. So this is in powder format. And after crushing come the soy beans, so we get soy oil, and then we get the protein out of this. Soybeans contain 18% oil, and the remaining 80% or so is soy residue or soy pulp. And this powder format was used for hams and sausages and also processed fish paste as a functional binding agent. But more recently, such powder format is often used for protein drinks or protein bars. So this powder form soy protein is used as a source of protein. And another product we have is what we call granular soy protein. So this is what is called in more recent years protein meat or soy meat. It could be a chicken or it could be pork type or it could be beef type. And we are dealing with around 60 types of soy meat. Looking back on the history, such soy meat was at the beginning for functional purposes for hamburgers and dumplings and so on and so forth, or to address some cost issues. So at the beginning, it was really for the functional purposes. But in more recent years, such soy meat is often more at the forefront. For instance, mapo tofu, which is a kind of a dish that uses a protein, soy protein meat. And with the more awareness for soybeans, the demand for such products is upon the increasing trend. So this is looking at the granular type soy meat, both production-wise or shipment-wise. We see upon year-on-year increase of such product. And we, Fuji Oil, in the domestic market, our share, and this is looking into the member companies of the Japan Plant Protein Food Association, and according to their data, we have 50% market share in this segment. As the demand is on the increasing trend, in Chiba plant, we had a space that was free, and we constructed a new plant for soy meat that went into operation back in July 2020. The annual capacity is 9,000 tons. And apart from that, soybean products, we are handling soy peptide. As I said, this is severed with the enzyme to improve the absorption power of amino acids, and that is a soy peptide. And back in 1993, water-soluble soy polysaccharides were launched from the soy pulp. Protein is extracted, and this soy pulp is being used And from there, water-soluble fiber was extracted, and we were successful with that. We were the first in the world to do that. It's used for Kalpis or Yakult, acid-type lactic acid drinks. If you put drops of lemon into milk, the milk protein is the isolated, and that can be inhibited by this water-soluble soy polysaccharide. So it is being used for Kalpis and also for Yakult. Finally, I'd like to introduce this product, Ultra Soy Separation. Soy milk, if you have a centrifuge of milk, you can separate that into the two portions, and soy lecithin has an emulsifier capability. And because of that, centrifuge did not work for that. But with this technology, which is patented, we can separate soy milk into the cream portion and low-fat portion. So we developed this technology of our own. So soy milk cream and also low-fat milk. And using that, we can create soy milk butter. I don't know whether I should be calling that the butter, or soy milk based cheese. And this low fat portion has a lot of umami, which is made up of amino acids. So it can be used for seasonings. At the beginning of this year, for a limited time, Ippudo, which is a ramen store chain, and plant based Akamaru ramen, which is a tonkotsu type ramen made of only plant-based ingredients, 100%. And for such plant-based ramen, they use the seasonings based on our low-fat soybean milk. So we would like to fully utilize the potential of soybeans. So crushing the soybeans, and after extracting oil, usually soy pulps are used for feeding purposes of livestock. But then we found some value in it, and we pursued research and development to come up with this technology. So now, at the beginning, as I said, plant-based food solutions are something that are part of our vision. So using plant-based ingredients, we would like to address the issues of the world. So that is a part of our vision. And we have a variety of social issues, some unique to Japan. For instance, the fastest aging of the society. And there are some unique issues associated with that, something like extending healthy lifespan. We need to have protein. We have moderate exercise. Intake of protein is very important to address this issue of healthy lifespan. And as the global population increases, we are actually in the phase of declining population in Japan, so there is a problem of labor shortage. So with particular raw materials we can offer, how can we address this issue? So these can be unique issues in Japan. But using plant-based food ingredients, how can we solve these issues? We would like to address these issues with our contribution. Talking about elderly people, we also have to look into the Z generation. This is a young generation of the people. They are very conscious about the global environment, how to maintain it, and whatnot. So the issues that the younger generation consider very important, they can be addressed with our plant-based food solutions. So far, we have been trying to address the issues of customers rather than the entire society. But our raw materials and most of our major raw materials are soybeans and cocoa beans, and for oils, we have raw materials such as the palm oils and also sunflower oil as well as coconut oil. So the supply chain network of raw material procurement, such a supply chain network may contain a variety of challenges. For instance, for palm oil, destruction of forests, and for coconut, we may have a problem of child labor. So inside the raw material supply chain, there are many challenges and issues, and we need to solve these challenges and issues. Therefore, sustainable procurement policy is something that we have come up with and uphold such policy within our company. So this is my last slide. Like I said, our business is based on soybeans. And in terms of our business areas, we have plant-based oil, and we have emulsification as well as fermentation business area. And so far, these business areas were quite separate and independent, but we would like to combine these different areas, merge these areas in order to address a variety of social issues, for instance, issues inside the supply chain. And we'd like to develop plant-based ingredient technologies in order to make our own contribution to addressing such social issues. And with that, we would like to further pursue our research and development and business activities. With this, I would like to conclude my presentation. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Omori. Now, I would like to take questions from the viewers. We may not be able to pick up all of the questions due to the time limitation. I hope you understand. The first question to you is, and this is from a consumer, the plant-based ingredients are in the boom, and a lot of soy meat-related products are being developed. But we have been eating soybeans in a conventional way. And in any case, we have never consumed meat as much as the Western countries. And I think we are paying attention to how much growth can be expected for soybean-based food products. How do you see that? And what about addressing the overseas market? What are your initiatives for that? Thank you very much for that question. Soybean meat, I'm quite certain that this is going to grow. For instance, in the Japanese market, soy milk consumption and demand is increasing year by year. And this is not considered a replacement of milk. A lot of people select soybean milk because of their own benefit. And in cafes, we have soy latte. That is already a kind of a typical part of the menu already. You'll find it everywhere. So from this perspective, it's one of the options, one of the choices that's been offered. For instance, today I have cafe latte, and then the next day I have soy latte. In that manner, just like soy milk, soy meat also can be chosen by consumers depending on how they feel on that particular day or how they feel about their bodies and condition. I'm quite certain that soy meat is going to be chosen by many more consumers more frequently. So growth is expected. And then I have been talking about Z generation, which is a young people, and they are very conscious of environment. And for such young people, plant-based food products, they will have more opportunities to choose such plant-based food products. So I'm quite certain that growth is expected going forward. Talking about how to address overseas market, that's another part of the question. So soy meat, if you think about that, And this is applicable here in Japan. We have tofu, we have natto, and it's a part of our traditional diet habit. And this actually originates from China. And in also the rest of Asia, soybeans are traditional part of their diet. So at least in Asia, I'm quite certain that there is much acceptance there. And also all plant, like monk diet, is something of center of focus as well. So I'm sure that soy-based products will grow in Asia, at least. We have been exporting to Indonesia as well as in Thailand already. So I'm quite certain that soybean-based products will grow in Asia, at least in Asia. Thank you very much. Due to the time limitation, I'd like to close this Q&A session. I'm sorry for not having able to address all of the questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Omori, for your wonderful talk. Thank you.